This is not the future we were promised. This is not the future we were counting on. This is not the world every boy and every girl envisioned. From the time we learned, we all were growing up.
Hi, Jinx and Sue Podcast, episode 74. My name is Joel Watson. From the online comic Hijinks and Sue at hijinksandsue.com. So today we've got a little bit of a different type of episode. Instead of a roundtable geek discussion with myself, Josh, and Eli, you're going to get a panel discussion that myself and a few other webcomic artists participated in at the Dragon's Lair Webcomics Rampage in December in Austin, Texas. If you are an Austin native or if you are in that area, please check out Dragon's Lair Comics and Games. It is a fantastic store. They definitely have that independent spirit. They definitely take care of independent artists and seem to have a really nice community going on there. They also are open till midnight. So if you're into any sort of tabletop gaming or other such nonsense, please check out Dragon's Lair Comics and Games. So there you go. There's a plug. And in this panel, it's your typical webcomic discussion panel. The artists you're going to hear from are myself, David Willis from Short Pact and Dumbing of Age. Next to me on the other side will be Danielle Corsetto of Girls with Slingshots, Jeff Jacks of Questionable Content, and Randall Milholland of Something Positive. This is cut down. The panel was about 2 hours. This is about an hour and a half version. I tried to cut out anything that was too technical or too shoppy talk. Is that a word, shoppy? I guess it's not. Too inside baseball, let's say that. And keep it down to the amusing stories. So if you like to hear about people who do what they love for a living and who are friends, talk to each other, then here you go. Here are some comic artists doing just that. If you want to get the full uncut version, which is about 2 hours, I'm going to give that file to the guys at Dragon's Lair, and they also have a podcast, so check out dlair.net, and if they decide to post that, I assume that's where it will be. Also, just a little bit of backstory, you're going to hear us talk a lot about a blender. That is because David Willis of Short Pact shipped 2 boxes of his books to Dragon's Lair. The post office decided to deliver one of those boxes, but the other box, they stole all the books and replaced them with half a blender. So that little bit of serendipity sort of permeated our weekend at Dragon's Lair. The blender story will be referenced quite a bit, as well as the fact that in addition to that, all of Jeff Jack's books did not arrive because of a UPS mix-up. And many of Danielle Corsetto's books didn't arrive as well. So when you hear us talk about missing books and blenders, that's what we're talking about. Please enjoy the Dragon's Lair webcomics panel part 1. There is a part 2, which I assume will be the next episode of the Hijinks and Sue podcast. Thanks a lot.
My name is Joel Watson. I do a comic called Hijinks and Sue, and a podcast also called Hijinks and Sue.
And a porn site, right?
And a porn... Actually, no, that's Hijinks. That's a different guy at this table.
But I've seen you in... Oh. That's a great back tattoo.
Lower back tattoo. It's a bullseye for you. Bullseye for you, baby.
I'm Bobby Crosby, and...
Don't say his name, he'll appear.
You have to say it 3 times.
Just
don't say
it in America.
Yeah, don't say it 3 times.
Bobby Crosby, Bobby Crosby. Oh, God.
Thank you for loving Pumpkin. No. I'm David Willis. I started out drawing roomies in 1997, then I drew Twalkie in 2000. Then I started doing Short Pact in 2004, and now I do Short Pact and Dumbing of Age.
Holy shit, you've been doing comics longer than Jerk City. That's insane.
His first comic predates the internet by 6 months, actually.
Pretty much.
The really early comics were just ASCII text.
Yeah. You had to print it out and hand it to people.
I'm Josh Lesnick.
Sure.
is Josh?
We called him. We haven't heard. So.
Oh no!
Oh God! He's dead, isn't he? He died.
We hope not, because there might be some liability.
Yeah, it's gonna be really awful if he is dead, and I just made that. Has he made it to Austin?
Well, I hope so. He lives here.
Oh, okay. He's actually got a box of your books, and he doesn't have a blender right now.
He's also got old my books.
He's just running down the highway.
Yeah, with 160 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm crazy.
Bulging muscles.
This is a terrible idea.
All right.
Daniel Corsetto, I do Russell Slim shots, and that's all I do. I'm like you guys.
Come on.
I
tweet about pooping. Pick it up.
I tweet about pooping a lot.
That's why I'm crazy.
What about Bat Boy?
Oh, I used to do Bat Boy for the Weekly World News. Thanks. You should hang around with me more often. Help me with this.
I'm Scott Perks. I do PvP.
Such a nice guy.
I love that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a hissy fit and storm out later.
Wow. Not being recorded, I hope.
Actually, let me just turn that phone off.
No, I just got some questionable
content. He is eternal.
I'm Randy Melon. I draw something positive, and I draw occasionally something super stupid, and I paint to not stab people.
You do like 15 comics.
No, I really don't. I only do SP. I do Rocks Butch when I feel like doing it, and same as super stupid. I post awful comics, like the one I did with the terrible clown on Tumblr. Turn that smile upside down, or I'll fuck it!
I think it's
too late.
we're going to try to keep it at least somewhere around the PG-13 realm.
Oh,
I was
going
to say, you've already used up your fucking system.
Wait.
It's yours. No, I've used up the entire table.
Wait.
If you do feel the absolute overwhelming urge, let's try to keep it at the inside voice level instead of the...
Wipe that smile off your face or I'll love it.
All right.
I will inject my enthralled penis.
And so enjoy the last webcomics for Rampage ever.
Well, that depends. You know, if they want to do this again, they can just buy all y'all stuff. You know,
that awesome. Makes up for a lot.
All right. Well, first question. Odin has ceded to me. It's one of the real simple ones. What was the main draw for you to present your comic on the internet rather than trying to go with the traditional print medium?
I called it. I knew that was going to be the first
I think we're pretty good about explaining this on our own by saying, you know, none of us have our books. So I think we had the right idea in the beginning.
I'm going to go to Blender technology.
Maybe you should have.
I'll give it to you.
Are you able to present webcomics in Blender form? Like, can you plug it in and then, like...
Eight ship 2 day. So I'm out.
Sure.
You really should at least draw a comic on that Blender.
This actually totally answers that question, though. I mean, you know, the internet is almost free. Yeah. And if you know a little bit of coding, you can, you know, stick it on there. And the books.
Yeah, no one has books, but all their comics are on here. So.
See, my story was my comics are not in newspapers, but I wanted someone to read it, so I put it on the internet.
I do want to say that disappointed QC fans can get my books at a discount. Only if you have sad puppy eyes. $5
off. Burn you down.
Not in the store, please. We've got a stoop for that.
Wow.
Sweet. No one answered that question, right? Good. Okay.
For me, it was never really. I was never really interested in getting it in print or syndicated or any of that stuff because I like cussing and not having an editor. And those are two things you can't do in newspapers, and it's difficult to do when you work for a regular comics publisher. So.
I wanted to be a newspaper cartoonist since I was a child, and when I was about 18, I read an article from the National Cartoonist Society website, which was like a page. It was like a website, and then there was nothing but an article that discouraged me from wanting to be a cartoonist. And then like a downloadable color palette for like Photoshop 4, so I could have newspaper ready colors.
That's kind of the point of the National Cartoonist Society.
Kind of.
To keep people out.
It was just statistics. Like, hey, so you want to be a cartoonist? We get 20,000 submissions a year, and we only pick 3, and someone has to die first.
For me, it was just I was had time to do it. I had done comics in college, but not for the newspaper. I did for the Computing Services magazine that we did. But actually, when I was in high school, I was actually a published cartoonist in a Christian magazine. And that was hilarious for a lot of reasons.
Something Christ followed.
No. They approached me like, hey, you know, we want you to do this stuff. Like, I'm not a Christian. And like, that's okay, we want you to do funny comics.
Well, they're mutually exclusive.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
They're not kidding themselves.
But when I was a kid, I wanted to be a Disney cartoonist. And not like, oh, I want to animate. I wanted to do Disney comics. Then I found out to do Disney comics, you basically had to speak Italian or Danish and work in that industry.
I like being my own boss. I like being able to do whatever the hell I want with my day. I talked with the guys at Ape Entertainment about doing Richie Rich comics because I said, hey, what do you guys hire me to do? They said, well, we got Strawberry Shortcake and Richie Rich. I said, well, I...
Strawberry Shortcake!
Crossover! So dream said, project!
So they said, turn in some little stories and we'll look at them. We'll run them by the licensor and see how it goes. So I sent them some little stories, and they got back to me, and they said, we love these. And then they took a while getting back to me, and they said, oh, the licensor doesn't like these, but we sort of like you, so here's the story we want you to write for the first one. So being your own boss and deciding, you know, I'm going to have cursing or, you know, whatever you want to have in your book, you can do that. When you're working for clients, because they write you a check, they get to say, well, we don't want this, we don't want that. So it's... There's less trade-offs when you're doing your own material.
Oh God, I'm sorry, my ovaries are taking over.
What?
Larry King, your next question.
Yes, I have a question.
Shoot.
Do you listen to music while you're working, and if so, what is your favorite music to listen to?
Hey, this is weird. I downloaded Jeff's albums last week, and I've been listening to those while I draw. I'm serious.
My albums rule, man.
Well, no, I'm saying, like,
I'm so good at playing guitar.
I can't listen. If I'm trying to concentrate, there can't be any words.
Yeah.
And so I've been grooving to Death Mole for, like, a week solid now.
I listen to music because drawing in silence is really creepy and weird. It makes you feel like the Unabomber. I listen to all sorts of stuff. Everything from like weird techno to weird indie rock to death metal to, yeah, all sorts of stuff.
I listen to really old blues like Lead Belly or Brian Lennon Jefferson. Oingo Boingo or techno.
Kesha.
Oh, yeah. Because the party don't start still.
Did you get that Kesha Lead Belly remix? Because that's off the chain.
I also lately have been listening to a lot of old Dragnet arena dramas and X-1 with Dimension X. Or I'll just like put on Old Ups as a Law and Order and have that as background noise.
That's why your comic is so cheerful.
Nothing helps you do a nice, fun comic like hearing about semen in someone's stomach or a body that got fished out of the...
You raped that girl in bed.
What? Choo-choo, baby.
I guess I'm kind of creepy because I actually draw in silence. I think I'll treat on the...
Yeah, that morning I came up to your office and you were just working in complete silence. I was so creeped out.
Just watching her fingernails grow.
I wore a shirt for this question, apparently, because I have my Ben Folds concert t-shirt. I listen to him and Polyphonic Spree and Fountains of Wayne, but usually silence. But one of those three if I'm listening to music.
I just like noise. So I'll turn on something loud, or if I really need to trick myself into working a little bit longer, I got a stack of audiobooks to go through. I just listen to... a big collection of Dorothy Parker stories, which made me want to drink. That was brutal.
Actually, for the longest while,
makes me want to drink.
For the longest while, I would just have like put on CNN, and then for some reason, like I had like weeks and weeks and weeks after that, I was doing comics about politics. Like, crap, I have to stop this.
I listened to all of
the whole Harry Potter series on audiobook for...
Okay.
It lasted maybe... It was super gay. It took me maybe, I don't know, like a month of comicking to get through it all. And it was like, if you found those comics, yeah, you can see when I ran out of books because I just get sad.
The magic is gone.
So, at what point did y'all consider yourselves a professional author, creator, artist?
Until about 5 minutes ago. I don't know. It took a long time to sink in because for me, the becoming a professional thing was sort of experimental and not like an instantaneous process. Because it was like, I got fired, and I was like, okay, well, I've got, you know, this comic that I bet if I take it to like 5 days a week and start selling merch, I could probably live on it for a couple weeks while I look for a job. A couple weeks turned into a month, and then that month turned into 2 months, and suddenly 6 months later, I was like, oh, I don't actually need a job now. So it was this thing. I don't know, like, my dad gave me a really hard time, like, when are you going to get a real job, blah, 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 until he saw my first tax return, and then he shut up. So I think that was the defining moment, where I was like, okay, I've made it.
What was your last job?
I was an office bitch. I had to answer phones all day and basically just do whatever anybody else told me to do. And it was a terrible job, and I was terrible at the job. So, but it just gave me lots of free time to surf the internet and read webcomics all day.
I was a terrible employee. I spent 10 years going through like sales and marketing, and which turns out to be really helpful for this job, oddly enough, but I hated every minute of it. And it was a lot of like ladder climbing and really just depressing game playing and whatnot for like a decade. And I started my comic after my kid was born because I was really ashamed of what I did for a living, and I didn't want her to be old enough to ask me why I was gone for 12 hours a day and the answer not be worth it. So I started the comic with the goal of it someday being my job, and I got so more focused on the comic than my job, I got fired like a year into it, I guess. I just didn't care about my job at all. I was taking like 2.5 hour lunches to make comics and stuff. So I was fired rightly. So, I think at that point it instantly became my job. Like, cartooning was my job at that day. And it has been ever since. It's been almost 3 years, I guess.
See, I went to college expecting to...
completely. I mean, we could never go back. Like,
no, I would just start selling drugs.
Yeah. I'd probably just start buying your drugs.
Talk to me later.
So I went to college to learn how to be a computer animator. But instead of doing a lot of that stuff, I just drew comics in class. And then I graduated, got A's and everything. But by the time I got out of there, I was already making money in my comic. I'm just like, I don't need to get a job. I can do my comics.
Nice.
But then, you know,
so this was your first real job?
Well, no, my first real job was actually doing roomies for the student newspaper. And then I got paid $2 a strip, man.
So this was your first real job?
$500
of a day. Oh, okay. Actually, he is a machine.
Had a real job. No,
I've worked at several real jobs, like while I was in school. But once I got it, I guess I had to go into work at Toys R Us for like a couple of years because I like broke my car.
Oh, you
well, I can't
thing.
Afford for that. I'm making enough to live on, but not pay for special.
Wait, did you have that moment where you thought, if I have to get a retail job, I might as well be surrounded by toys? Because it turns out that doesn't work. Like,
now see, my truck, I was just driving my truck to Toys R Us or something, and then right before it gets to Toys R Us, my brakes break.
And you never left the parking lot.
I thought, well, I can't afford this $500 bill. I might as well go apply for a job so I can pay for these car repairs. And a couple years later, it's like, man, fuck this.
Like, the AutoZone was next to the Toys R Us.
Yeah, they weren't hiring.
Yeah, that philosophy doesn't work that well if you haven't done a lot of retail. Like, if you're in a band and you want to hate music, go work at Guitar Center.
Yeah.
That was my first job.
Just go to Guitar Center.
Yeah, see, now I just hate Christmas. So.
Yeah. Well, that's healthy.
So I worked in one of those studio store, a themed restaurant where I was a pilot that took people to the future of planet Mars. I ran a simulator ride, gave a speech. I wore like a Star Trek uniform and gave like a pre-prepared speech and answered questions. And
I think you may be the most unemployable of all of us. You have no usable real world experience at all.
That's why I'm a webcomic guy.
Yeah, you have no choice.
Danielle.
See, I'm trying to think of what my employment thing. And also, I'm trying to think of how unemployable I am. My last employed job was being a photojournalist for a local newspaper. For a very small, like, photojournalist means, like, you know, I took some photos and did everything else, you know, like anybody else would do in a newspaper. It was kind of right when things were starting to, well, no, things were already starting to go downhill. But I put up the comic strip at the same time. I just graduated college, Yeah, so I guess I had the comic up at the same time, and it started going pretty well, but I was just using it as an advertisement online for my illustrations, and I actually started doing illustration full-time about a year out of college, and just quit my job. I keep looking at you like, I'm going to tell you my
That's
story
That's cool, because I'm totally in love with you.
We're close enough for a card game to break out, so you might
I brought Uno.
Scrabble. So I think I was doing freelance illustration and caricatures for 2-3 years while I was still doing the comic, and I kept on considering the comic to just be an advertisement, but after a while I was like, you know what, I think I could just do this full time. I mean, I'm kind of somewhat busy,
and,
so I,
and could you?
I did.
Oh. Spoilers.
I know.
Spoilers. It worked.
Spoiler alert, we're cartoonists.
I guess for me, I know the first time I ever felt it was when I was 16. I'm like, oh, I mean, printed in an international magazine. Yeah, it was a Christian magazine for teenagers, and I didn't really tell anyone I knew that. I said, I don't do this, but you don't believe in God. Like, I don't know, but I believe in the paycheck.
That's the same thing.
Yeah. And then I kind of forgot. I think for me, the second time was 2004, when Neil Gaiman was giving his Harvey Award speech, and he mentioned me by name, and how I had just made the leap in webcomics. And I was like, oh, that's about as good as it gets. We're done.
Been downhill ever since.
What's the name of that magazine you work for? Hot Christian Teens.
Yeah.
What creative work from your early childhood are you most proud of?
Early childhood?
I had a comic strip based on the neighborhood dogs called Max and Jazz. I had that going for like 5th grade through like 7th.
Oh. Yeah, I actually found in my closet at my parents' house a bunch of like old comics I did when I was like, you know, 12 or whatever, and you know, they're pretty bad, so I'm not proud of shit that I did last week, so
I have basically everything I've ever drawn in a tub, and I've been drawing since I was 5. So
a bathtub.
Yeah, bathtub. 12-foot bathtub, it's real nice.
Must hurt to paint.
I don't think. So it's really full at this point. But I, for my books, for the back, I go through that and dig out the worst things I ever did. And it's funny because it is the worst things I ever did in retrospect, but at the time it was the thing I was most proud of about being alive. Like, there was nothing I liked more than my really, really terrible superhero who's like, he's got Magneto's helmet and Wolverine's claws, and one of his legs is a laser, and like... And it says that in the margins, too. Like, the helmet of Magneto, like, is a laser, draw arrow, like... And his name is Pulsar. Like,
so why are you working for Rob Liefeld?
Exactly. Okay, hang on. When we get back to the table, I'm going to show it to you, because it is Liefeld. The ankles are tiny, and the chest is too big.
Right,
and
the feet hidden by something.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, most of my early creations are still in my comics, so I guess I hope I'm proud of them. And my first cartoon character was a talking car named Ultra Car, and he could fly. See, he had...
But your commitment to that bit is amazing, because he was in your comic like this week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been like 13 years.
I answered it. Yeah, put him in the comic again like a couple weeks ago. He's like, yeah, I like talking cars. It's like, I was the biggest fan of Short Circuit.
But, oh,
me too.
Yes.
Someone had to be.
Those movies on DVD, and I watch them all the time.
Los locos kick your balls into outer space!
tires.
The best part about Ultra Car is that he had different parts of him that were different color camouflage, different environments, but all at the same time. So the front of him is brown, so that's camouflage in the mountains. And the back is orange, so that's camouflage in the desert. And he has like blue tires, so you can't see those in the water. But the middle of the car, like the actual body of the car, was red because red is really awesome.
If you paint something red, it goes three times as fast.
Oh yeah. So as a kid, I was stupid.
As a kid.
Yeah. I grew out of that. Now I'm just retarded.
Sweet. Well, you cope really well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if there's enough time, you can like there's like a separation. You're like, that's not me.
It gets super funny after a decade.
But.
Yeah.
It was really weird for me, like working on the first book, because I had to go back and like obsessively reread the first 300 strips, which I had never done. I'd never like read my whole archive. It's too painful. So I had to go back and like, it was weird because I always feel like, you know, my jokes hold up pretty well, at least as far as I'm concerned. But like I hate my old art. But then going back and looking at some of the really, really early strips, I was staring at them for so long that I started to kind of like the old art again, which was very strange.
I remember when I was trying to put together submission packets for newspapers. I read the guidelines, like we need 30 strips and an outline and all this crap. And there's only two syndicates in the world. And that was before I read the article that said it was impossible. And the only things, because I knew what worked, I knew what I would probably be allowed to do in newspapers, so the only things I came up with were like, it's Calvin Hobbes, but instead of a tiger, it's a robot. Or, it's Calvin Hobbes, but instead of a tiger, it's a different kind of tiger. It's called Ted and Billy. And you know.
It's called Buy My Coffee Cups, you bastard.
Yeah.
Exactly. My new syndicated strip, Malvin and Chow. Yeah.
Actually, you know, I was going through my archives and I saw the if I were syndicated from last year that we did, where I don't remember what started that, but Jeff did questionable contents.
Oh yeah,
and
I remember that. Yeah,
and no matter
that was a good strip.
The rules for the meme were it had to be a newspaper strip, it had to be terrible, and then like the joke had to end with one of the characters falling over in amazement or whatever. Mine was called Hijinks Insured.
I'm afraid that. I remember being really proud of that because it was just so terrible.
Yeah, it was awful.
I loved it.
No, like, the best part was that Martin's shirt said "the."
Yes.
I do a comic called Short Pants.
Mm-hmm. Short Pants.
Short Pants.
Short Pants.
Endorsed by Will Wheaton.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
What was the question?
Early works.
Creative work from your childhood that you're most proud of?
I did a bunch of comics. I made a whole bunch of comics when I was in sixth grade. I never showed anyone, didn't like them that much. And then I did have like my whole period of like, I am a Christian, when I was in junior high. And then I got stuck doing the youth group newsletter, which was basically just a four to six page comic book that I did. That was all it was. And then when I got to high school, I actually made my own comics and sold it at school. And I was actually a high school newspaper cartoonist. And anyone who's been in journalism in high school, they do the UIL competitions like Band does. And I was state-ranked through sophomore and junior high school year. And my senior year in high school, I was nationally ranked third in the nation for high school political comics. I actually had a football coach demand I get expelled because I made a comic about homophobia in our high school, and I used the number of one players who was notoriously homophobic, and the coach
and notoriously gay.
Most likely, I hate that. He loves hot dogs. All over his face.
See, Randy, you're smart because you don't pick giant corporate entities in high school that would crush you like I did.
Oh, no, the nice thing was, like, the coach went to the principal. The principal was like, is he? Is he scared of gay kids? She said, oh, that's not the point. He's like, no, I think it's the principal. It got dropped, you know. Then I got nationally, you know, recognized for it, and, you know, what could they do then? you're suspended, but thanks for giving our school some recognition.
To come back and you
will. Well, it is Texas, right? I wouldn't put that past.
Yeah.
No, actually, that would be par for the course.
Yeah. So, but that was it, you know, for me. After that, I just didn't care anymore.
I got Taco Bell mad at me once.
How'd you accuse him of actually making food?
So you know how there's always these rumors that, oh, like midnight like shift at Taco Bell is totally jizzing in these things. And so my mom didn't want me to eat Taco Bell anymore. So she runs to me like, I heard this thing. She's been doing this to the tacos. So like, well, they fired them, right? I don't care now. But I did this comic about comparing this to school food. I thought it would be funny. I slipped it in like the last minute without any supervision. Christmas, the day before Christmas, we're going to publish our new school newspaper. And oh my God, the phone calls. The phone calls from Taco Bell, from the principal. My dad is involved in this. I'm like, ah!
In fairness, your dad owns Taco Bell. So.
No, that's a secret, Dave.
Wasn't smart.
Okay, last time.
Well, the ironically, the next question was supposed to be, have you ever been surprised by controversy you didn't expect?
I should have expected.
That you did expect, but never happened.
I've never been controversial. it's all about hugs. Oh, shit, do I got to start now? Because I talked.
Yes. Only here a while.
I think most of the controversies that have happened for my comic I didn't expect. So I'm like, who cares? Why does this matter to you? Like, I told a story about the Wiccan guy who got completely upset about I did a strip saying that Wicca was the old religion, which it is. I mean, it may be based off older books, but it was started in England in the 50s, and this guy, went haywire, and after a while started spamming every Yahoo group. He spammed like 40, 50,000 people about how I was making money off of oppressing neo-pagans. I had no revenue off my comic. The only shirt I had in my store was a parody of Jesus Christ Superstar. But
Jesus Christ Pagan Star.
He got me an actual sizable bump that stayed. Like, my readership actually increased by like a fourth. But it's funny because I made a comic making fun of Enterprise because it was a shitty show. Let's be honest, it was awful. They could have done something better with it, and I didn't even think about it. And all of this nerd rage. It wasn't that I had besmirched a good show. No one ever said, "Hey, it's a good show." It was always, "Look, I know it's bad, but it's still the sci-fi we have to support." I'm like, no, we don't. Why would we?
That's not how support.
Yes. Sure, they fist me unwelcomely, but it's the only affection I get. No, that's not how that works. Yes, I think. I don't know.
What about you said we wouldn't talk about that.
You really don't like my salt charges. It
still hurts to sit down.
That's it.
I did a comic early on about. There was a quote in like an article in Rolling Stone, or I think from the CEO of Universal Music Group, this guy named Doug Morris, and he had said something like, how are we supposed to know about the digital internet and the Napsters, and we didn't know it was going to happen, and where did the music go, and where's all the songs, and it was just
did
like
the music vanish?
It was like your grandpa. Yeah, I mean, it was really, really sad.
The night the music died.
I did a comic basically just almost quoting him, but just it was like, and then when I was a kid, music was grilled into sides of beef and. And beef P3s, and I got a lot of traction, and it made it to a bunch of blogs and whatnot. And then I get a phone call at work from Sony BMG, and the only thing I can figure how they got my number was that I think at the time if you did a Who Is on me, it might have been on my website, or I changed that immediately. But they were like, "Hi, this is so and so, Sony BMG. We think that comic's just fabulous. You know, Universal is so out of touch. We want to work with you. We want to be in the you business." And it was just awful. And they ended up getting me. They wanted to launch a band from the UK. The really sad thing was, is they were a really good band.
that they had no idea what they were going to do with them. And they got me on a conference call with the band, the managers, these UK video producers, like 25 people on the call. A conference call with a record company is about an hour of everyone talking about how great everybody on the call is, and then kind of going, now what? And so I was like, oh, we're so glad you're talking. Oh, we're so glad you're talking to us. You're fantastic. Oh, I love everything you do. And I'm just kind of sitting there like, what the hell's going on? Where are we going?
This is how radio had gotten
up there. Yeah, and then at the end of it, they were like, so, how are we going to really synergize this band in the U.S.? You know? And I was like, well, we've got video people on the phone. Why don't we make, like, a short film? Here's a funny idea. And I had an advance of their album, and one of the songs was kind of funny. And so I was like, let's do a video about this. And within a minute and a half of me saying that, they were talking shooting locations, budgets, casting. It was. They had so few ideas that just because I spoke up, a short film got made in the UK for I think $15,000, and it's on YouTube right now. If you Google the Hoosiers like mockumentary or something, it's on there. But I wrote it, and it paid me a decent amount of money for it, and it was all so sad. It was this glimpse into like how that works and how Hollywood works, and it was just all this grandstanding and backslapping and then like, okay, so who's got an idea? Nobody? All right, kid, what do you want to do? I'm like, I'm gonna make a movie? All right, let's make a movie. Okay. I pissed off a bunch of juggalos one time too, which I
good job. Good job.
That's which, the lowest hanging.
Isn't that saying like you're just a dog behind a bone
line? No, I threw the ball three times and then I didn't throw it.
And the juggalo's like, where's the bingo?
Yeah.
Fucking miracles.
Yeah. That was the one. That was the one I did a comic about because
playing with magnets in front of one.
Yeah. There was when they announced that Sarah Palin show, and it was on the Discovery family of channels.
I remember this because we're talking online.
I said that instead of being on, you know, a Discovery network, she should be in a different group of guys. And then the final panel was her in juggalo makeup, and it says like magnets. How do they fucking work? And she's like, it's a miracle, you betcha. And the juggalo rage. It was like one guy that followed me on Twitter got like all juggalos mad at me for like a week and a half.
You really don't know how they work. That sounds so sweet.
It was fun until it wasn't. Until it was just not worth the effort anymore. But it was, I have no, they're not people, you know?
They are truly the Unterminchen.
Yeah.
The biggest controversy I ever had was that thing, that twit, that live journal fight you and I got into with the cartoons.
Man, so, the readers are so angry.
Oh man, they were so mad about that. So Dave and I were like having a fake fight or whatever. And it rapidly, rapidly escalated. It was just doing filthy, horrible drawings of each other. I posted one in particular on my live journal, like without a cut or anything, so it was just there. And if you followed me on your friends list, it was just there in the browser. And it was Dave Willis having sex with a dog and also like giving a dude head. Yeah. People got real, real mad that I put that on live journal. Like, oh man. Like 300 comments, like, put that under a cut, I'm at work. And I made things worse by responding to them all, going, if you're mad that I didn't put this under a cut and you're at work, maybe you shouldn't be looking at live journal at work. That really didn't help. Now I don't use live journal anymore.
I've always been boring. It's like, I, you know, have all these gay characters in my comic, and the only controversy ends up being people being like, I don't understand why, like, Angel and Thea didn't work out. Are you homophobic?
That phrase is bandied around a lot. I got called homophobic this year because I did the storyline about Vanessa admitting that she's bisexual and talking about how she dated a woman who's a lesbian, and then a woman's like, well, I thought you'd be fixed. And about how there are a lot of people in the gay community who won't accept bisexuality. And I had a onslaught of emails from bisexuals going, yep, that's happened to me. Yeah. And a lot of, it was primarily, you know, lesbians who, like, well, you know, you gotta understand, like, you know, what it's like to date someone. You can't trust those people. I'm like, wow. And I told one woman, like, you know, everything you just use as an argument is bisexuals, heterosexuals have used against you at some point. And it was immediately, you're a fucking homophobe, and and like, what? And I was like, 40 to like my friend Eve, who is a lesbian, she's like, you're the shittiest homophobe. How many gay people have you hugged in your life? Like, I'm just trying to suffocate them. Crush you with my tiny arms of Pedro Ray.
Yeah, I had a similar thing when I did a storyline a while back where my character Ty, who's a lesbian, and like, thought she was polyamorous, and then basically I was like, oh,
they take that bullet. I asked you what was going to do at the same time the poly story, and I saw what happened. Like, oh,
she literally explicitly said something like, well, this isn't working out for me, so I guess I'm not actually polyamorous. And I got a whole bunch of stupid polyamorous people like, polyamory is not like that. You don't understand what you're talking about. You hate polyamorous people. You
I do now.
For one character. And then I got a bunch of other people who were like really mad at me that I had like gotten rid of the polyamorous person in my comic because apparently it's my job to represent polyamorous.
All people always.
Always.
Yeah. If they read your comic.
Where are the Nazis in your comic? Those are people.
Excuse me, I'm a reptile person.
Yeah. Where are the crab people?
I'm tired of only being represented by Art Bell.
I love Art
Bell. I love Coast to Coast AM. The crazy hour.
It's the best podcast ever. It's so good.
Yeah.
Let's see. I guess.
Any questions? Or?
Power Rangers fans sometimes get angry at me because I mention Power Rangers, and whenever Power Rangers is mentioned by anybody on the internet, they assume it's to attack them.
Well, to be fair.
The thing is, it was a strip about Ethan saying, you know, I don't understand Power Rangers, but I'm sure if I was that age, I would have liked it a whole bunch. I just don't understand it because I wasn't the right age group. Like, you ain't Power Rangers!
Wait, were they a Power Rangers villain?
It was
Rashad. Power Rangers villain. Like, I hate them too! They kicked me in the face.
Were they sent from the moon by Rita? Was that her name?
I just opened the door and they're just gigantic. You're like, whoa.
But it's obviously just a really huge guy in a suit.
Yeah.
That took like 22 whole minutes for them to get big so they fight him back. I don't know.
Powers are dick.
I've had that problem before.
Stop. Hey, I wish they were still hiring, you know?
Yeah.
Got my size?
Yeah. Odin. You ready?
Yes. By the way, I'm a Power Rangers fan.
Your boss?
Oh. Now it's awkward.
Now we hate you.
No!
What are some of your other hobbies, perhaps ones that don't make an appearance in your work?
Oh, dear. I don't think I have any.
All of yours are your work.
Yeah.
Does drinking count as a hobby?
That's in my work. I am an alcoholic.
That's the only reason people relate to my work.
When I was a teenager, I was trying to figure out how I was going to be a rock star. And it was that, like, of course no one makes it, but I'm going to make it. No, funny enough, I made it in something less likely than being a rock star. There are fewer full-time web cartoonists than there are rock stars. But I actually, it was weird. I kind of made a decision, like, when I was around 20, like, do I want to be a cartoonist or do I want to try and be a rock star? That's a pretty stupid decision.
Okay, kindergarten.
Yeah, it was very kindergarten. And I picked the less likely one, but the one that didn't require a lot of travel. I thought at the time.
Surprise.
Yeah. And I kind of put music on the side, but I try and teach myself a new instrument every couple of years. So
cool.
Right now I'm learning piano and ukulele, and I play like guitar and drums and bass and saxophone poorly and
skin flute.
Yeah, right now it's when I'm back.
He's only second chair on that.
I was first chair in saxophone for all of middle school. Then in high school, there was these really motivated saxophone dudes, and I was like, "F this." Last chair, I was playing trumpet parts anyway. Like I didn't even know what my music was. I was like, "Forget these guys; they're super saxophone oriented." Like,
speaking of kindergarten dreams and stuff that's totally not going to pan out hobby wise. a number of years ago, I'm going through like really old papers. My mom had this big box of like, you know, David stuff. I'm like, it had this sheet of paper that had this, like, say what we want to be when we grow up. And as of kindergarten, I was going to be a basketball player.
I thought you were going to say.
Well, you got the height for it.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say a Batman.
I want to be a Batman.
That's not possible.
Anyone can be Batman now.
You can get a franchise, yeah. It's like $50,000 to get started.
Yeah. Most of my hobbies are in my comics. I don't really know if I have anything that's. I mean, it's.
I actually do think sometimes how weird it is that I am doing the job that I wanted to do when I was seven.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I thought I was going to be a cartoonist until I discovered music and then decided I wanted to be a rock star.
I did the exact same thing and then flipped back when I was a teenager. When I was seven, I think, was when I started reading newspaper comics. So I was reading Dennis the Menace, Calvin Hobbes, and only the family circuses with the dotted line trail. If it didn't have that, I don't care what the ghost is doing. I would only read those.
And those ghost comics were so creepy. Like, when you really think about it, it's like
Jeffy, who spilled the milk? I swear to God, it wasn't me. This house is haunted. You have to do something.
My grandmother watches me sleep.
My dead grandparents speak to me.
And $9 just sitting whimpering his zombies.
Billy's facing the corner just peeing himself.
I think this merger of the families is way cooler.
Then again, it really doesn't take much to make the family. I think the only hobby that doesn't work itself in my comic is video games, but I also just don't play very many video games. Yeah. So it's like my smallest hobby, I think.
Yeah, every time a Mario game comes out, I'll have like a strip about Mario. So once a year.
I made a conscious decision a couple of years ago to try to never do any video game content, because it used to be like, I used to kind of want to grab that audience, and so like every fourth or fifth strip would be about video games, and then I stopped playing and realized I had nothing original to say about it, but then I realized it doesn't even matter if I do, it's covered. Like, there is nothing I can say about video games. There are thousands of video game comics, and three of them are okay. Yeah, there's like two or three good ones, so. I think if you don't have anything original
to offer.
But what if
there's two guys?
Well, the deal is, if they're on a couch, yeah.
Is there a sidekick?
It's an anthropomorphic toaster, let's say.
Anthropomorphic penis.
Yeah.
Winner.
My hobbies are really fantastic. I like sewing and talking.
I don't like sewing. I do it all the time now.
I like socks.
Having babies in the kitchen.
That was a weird morning.
I didn't warn you. I'm sorry.
I need to find someone.
Hi, Jeff.
My hat.
No.
I just want milk.
Hi, Jeff. Cats.
Until she asked me to bite through the umbilical cord.
Look, she's in West Virginia. They don't have hospitals there.
Sewing is now part of my job, and I hate it.
Wait, really?
Because of those hats I make.
Oh, you made so much.
I am so far behind on orders.
So
there's this place called China. They.
I didn't think I'd get this many orders. Okay,
they have
like
children
10,
that
make
hats
them.
For pennies.
But like Thanksgiving weekend, I get like 35 orders, and some people order like 5 apiece.
Oh,
like,
God.
Oh, God. Turn
I
that off.
I hate making money. It's terrible.
It's so much. I hate sewing. I don't want to do it anymore. I started like just sewing like curse words into the inside of the
hat. You will die
alone. This hat.
I wish this dinosaur hat would eat you.
My butt with this.
Your head is fat.
All right. With those cheerful thoughts, it's now time for audience questions. Odin and I are going to trade off picking people. We're going to try to get as many people as we can. If we're trying not to replicate questions, if you hear someone else ask a question, go ahead and wait. Odin, I asked the first question. You take the first pick.
You.
What's your weirdest experience with a fan that you've met?
Why don't you start and we'll go have lunch.
Should I go with he people showing up at my home, inappropriate invitations.
I don't know. Listen,
harassing my mother.
You don't have.
Category three.
You don't. You don't have a better story than the guy coming to your house. That's the best one.
This guy came to my house.
Bill Harden. Oh, that's the best.
That was me, and I said I was sorry. Yeah.
2002
AT&T
decided that my unlisted number should be listed.
Fire
code. Oh. Thank you.
Sorry.
And we
are
starting a fire later.
So I had paid that my number listed, and AT&T, oh, sorry about that, but we'll have it listed next year. But that doesn't help because now it's going to be on the web. Sure enough, my address is on the web. And I didn't think about it. In fact, I had one reader ever get three different addresses listed online. Like, one was my old address in Denton. One was a previous apartment I had in Waltham, then my current one, well, then current. In fact, I had one reader found my previous address and emailed me, like, ha ha, I know you live, what's the address, it was the wrong address, I'll come fuck with you, da da da. I'm like, okay, whatever. Apparently, at 3 in the morning, he's banging on the door, and some girl opens the door, he yells, yeah, where the fuck is that? And her boyfriend just comes barreling out and puts the guy in the hospital. He went to the ER, but he's like, I'm going to sue you for not telling me that's where you don't live anymore.
I came to kill you, Randy.
I had a reader who, like, two readers one night, really early in the morning, in the middle of the week, I hear this banging on my door, and that's kind of like a shamble in the living room. And I lived in what's called a mother-in-law apartment, this sort of creepy, actually all my friends called it a serial killer apartment, because you couldn't just get to my apartment. It was half the second floor of a house that you had to go behind the house, which was basically either have the key to the gate or climb it, and go up this rickety stairwell that did once fall down. And I had an old storefront door, which had like the draw shade, and I see two silhouettes outside. Am I, are these people? And they're, bang, bang, Mel Holland! And then bang, and they're like, we know you're in that. I was grabbing butcher knives. Because I'm not going to go down, you know, easy on this. And, we love your cop! I'm not putting the butcher knife down. And they just showed up.
If anything, that just makes you get it. And
they brought me a $20 donation, and it cost me $40 to get them a cab. I was so fucking pissed off. But, yeah, I had that. And you would, the other category, my mom used to go to a bookstore and met one of my readers, I guess, worked there. And my mom doesn't pay with cards very often, but she pulled a card out and was like, Mel Holland. Well, the only Mel Holland I know does a comic online. And my mom said, oh, that's my son. Yeah. And I guess the girl freaked out about it. And this, my mom doesn't handle people freaking out about anything well. My mom is very much a little southern lady. You know, prim and proper, will insult you to your face with no apology, but very sweetly. You're almost like an anchor for it. And, was not happy about this woman, and generally would avoid the store, and actually only go in the bookstore when she walk in and see a woman wasn't working there. And so one day my mom walks in, because she knows she's not very sure I'll go in, but she was in the back, and she sees my mom, runs up just tearful, like, I'm so glad you're okay! Why wouldn't I be? Randy just killed you in his comic! Or not her phone there. I still get crap about that. So thanks. Yeah, but that's included all the people who've made really, like, men who made. Gay men really seem to want to crawl inside me. Like a tauntaun, I don't know.
Well, you do smell worse on the inside.
Well, the worst part is I actually did have a reader show up in my apartment, and he was convinced he was going to seduce me. And that was a really uncomfortable, like, no, you have to leave now. I'm not gay. This is not going to happen. I don't want to call the police, but you're putting me in a position to have another choice. And, you know, I finally left that apartment, and then 2009, Comic-Con, this beautiful red woman walks up to my table, and we're talking. She's like, okay, I get a sketch. And I'm drawing, all of a sudden I hear, 270B School Street. I'm like, that's where I used to live. She's like, yeah, I know, you're my neighbor. I'm like, that's where I said, yeah, I read your comic and I always wanted to approach you about it. But I once had this idea of maybe like dropping by your house and, you know, trying to seduce you. I'm like, you so, wanted a choo-choo bear, right?
No, she says, so I put on a big gay man suit.
I didn't want to seem like a creepy reader. Like, oh, great. the one who I actually would have been very happy to see, had some type of tact.
The creepiest reader interaction I ever had, and I told the story last year, it's been like an ongoing thing every year at San Diego Comic-Con. There's this one fan who goes there every year. She's a really, like, sweet girl. Every year she just, like, shows up and brings me a bottle of booze. Like, here you go, thanks. And I was like, okay, great. Like, this is a sweet deal. But then, like, for a while, it was becoming fairly clear that, like, she kind of had a crush on me and was kind of trying to seduce me a little bit. And I was like, this is weird, but, like, you know, it happens.
It's alcohol.
Let's go with it. Until 2 years ago, she'd already come by the table, and this was the last day of the convention, Sunday. I've got a lot of, you know, like 20 people waiting for sketches, so I'm sitting here drawing. All of a sudden, I hear, Jeff, and I look up, and it's her, and she's obviously drunk. And I'm like,
I drank your present.
I kind of cut my line at 20 people, but what's up? What can I do for you? She's like, is your wife a jealous woman? About to ask. Well, she said, "Will you sign my boob?" I was like, "Okay." And so I'm going in to like sign a boob, and I've signed a boob before, and that time was awesome. It was just like this girl wanted her boob signed. Her husband was there, and he was even more excited about it than she was. So I feel weird. But I'm going in to sign this girl's boob. And, you know, it's kind of half flopped out of her shirt. And I'm, like, getting more and more uncomfortable the closer the Sharpie gets to her skin. And so, like, her boob's here. And I'm just like, goodbye. So she's like, thanks, and stumbles off. And then these two, like, 15-year-old girls who were, like, behind her in line. And she stumbles off, and they look at me. And literally simultaneously, the two of them and I go... And this past Comic-Con, she came by again, and I was like, oh, God. And then
Will you sign my ovaries?
We were talking, and she was like, blah, 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 my boyfriend. And inwardly, I was like, thank God. So, and I feel bad telling the story, because I don't think she means to be, you know, a little creepy, but it's definitely a bit of a transgression. And it's a funny story.
I feel bad. I feel like I should have a whole lineup of creepy stories.
Yeah, and you're female. You should have some.
No.
Strangely, my readers were
like the time last night when I was stroking
your hair
and you slept.
There was a guy.
I was there from 3 to 4.
I was in the Casper mask.
There was that guy at Baltimore. There was a guy at Baltimore 2 years ago that had like circled your table a few times. It was the end. Everybody was gone. The floor was empty.
Yeah,
and he like came and went, came and went, came and went, and then like finally got up to her table and was like, you're very pretty. And he ran.
I wish that happened to me more often.
I do have the creepy German guy. The only
He was creepy to everybody.
I know.
Like, especially to you. But
I was it could be really long. I won't go into a long one. But basically, this guy in Germany has been, you know, had been sending me these delicious like German chocolates and he was like very cool about it in the, you know, in the postcards and the
emails. You eat candy from strangers.
I know. That's
say, I'm made with my blood!
Well, I tried it on my friends first, and they didn't die, so that's they sent, like, these really amazing gluten-free things that I can't get in the States either. And I was just like, yeah, go ahead and send I'm fine with this. I can keep this up. So this is the only reason I really knew him. And we met at Emerald City once, and he was kind of weird, and he wound up, like, inviting himself to this dinner with, you know, the rest of us. And, just, like,
and we were all, like, horrible. Every single one of us in the group assumed that somebody else in the group knew him. And
as soon as he left for the bathroom, everybody goes, who is that guy? We're like, no, nobody knows who he is.
He dawns on all of us, and we're all like, oh, God.
But the, after that...
I have a to
my hat. My address. He said, where do you live?
I'll make you into Lederhosen!
Well, when I'm going out...
what kind of block do you have?
There's a guy that I'm kind of seeing who's up in Rochester, and, you know, dating people who are very far away from me is, you know, the only way we can see each other is, well, let's just go to, like, New York City and enjoy, you know. Our first date basically was, like, 5 days in New York City. And I mentioned it online, and I was going to go see Colbert live, and he had, you know, he had this inn with the writers, actually. So we were able to get, like, front row seats in without waiting. It was awesome. But he told me about this, and I mentioned it on Twitter, and the German guy tweets me, and he's like, or DMs me,
I guess. Was I following him? That's weird. And he's like, so what are you doing? Legitimately, this guy is a huge Colbert fan. Like, his handle was Livestrong, or Armstrong, or whatever the...
Wristrong.
Thank you. So, I mean, he'd been to see this guy, like, several times, see Colbert several times. He's like, when are you going? I'm actually going to be in New York that weekend. And I was like, oh, I don't know when I'm going. And I, you know, text Kevin. I'm like, can we change the date of when we're going? And we actually changed it to a week after.
Oh, God.
So I mentioned that I was going to be going to see Colbert, but I didn't say which day. I mentioned this on Twitter because I suddenly realized, oh, I should stop doing that and telling people exactly where I'm going to be. It's a bad idea.
It made
idea.
It so much easier for me.
You've got the helmet device in the back of my head, right? But we, so I didn't mention when I was going to be there. I didn't get back to the German guy. It's a German. I just mentioned that I was going to be in New York from this week to this week because I had guests or something like that up. And we go up there. We like spend, I think, 3 days before we go to see Colbert. We finally go down to see it. And I didn't mention anything on Twitter anywhere. And I'm taking pictures because they have like this really cool opening that says Colbert Report on the outside. And I'm looking at the back of my digital camera. There's the German guy. I look up. And he turns around and goes, oh, Danielle! And I'm like, could I mention something? I'm like, no, I didn't. I went back afterwards and, you know, I didn't mention anything. So I'm like, this guy's been every day. He had to have been waiting for me. And people are lining up for like 3 or 4 hours. He has no idea when I'm going to get there. I didn't mention I was going to be able to get in early. And I like walk over slowly and I'm thinking, I must have fucked up somewhere. I must have fucked up. And I don't know how to explain to Kevin, who I've like, you know, just barely been dating, that, you know, this guy's bad. And I kind of like, the guy goes in for a hug and I kind of give him like the Christian side hug.
Yeah.
And I look up at Kevin and I go, and he doesn't see me. He goes, oh, you guys are all friends. You guys catch up. I'm going to go.
Oh, my God. Oh, you've got a van? Sure, you can take her.
She loves puppies and candy.
No, and vans don't need windows.
I don't know what knife play is, but it sounds fun.
It does have the word play in it.
He wound up asking me for my phone number to see if we could like, you know, hang out later. And I was just like, he gets his phone out, and I'm like, I don't give my phone number out. He just closes his phone and goes, no, yeah, you shouldn't do that.
This is one of the many reasons I'm glad I'm huge and intimidated.
I'm working on it. So that's my story, the German.
I guess I married my fan. I actually... I realized when the question came up that I haven't checked the messages in my voicemail for like a couple weeks because a guy emailed me saying, hey, oh, I ordered a book and somehow I managed to find out your phone number, so I left you a message. And
wow.
It's, I don't know how weird that is. I'm just scared of phone contact with everybody in the whole world.
That's
so
pretty
like,
weird.
I don't want to listen to it and find out what he said.
I have people in Canada somehow track my phone number down
books.
And call me.
I
ask about
your mother.
Voices on this phone.
I killed my mother with this blender. Now it's yours.
I feel like we have to put this on speaker and listen.
Her soul is in it.
I mean, you know.
Then find all
it's just going to be like, hey, this is Jerry Smith. I order number 4525. I just wonder where it is.
I've had a couple people
I just
call
really
me.
Like the call.
Did yeah. you have to have your phone number on PayPal? I guess
yeah.
I couldn't figure out a way around it.
Do
I had two
have a proxy number on there now?
Oh, wait, what's a proxy number?
I just put like a fake one on there, I think.
Oh,
you can sign up for a free Google Voice account and then
oh,
you don't.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I've had two people call me. One person called me at like 10:30.
While you're looking for that, this wasn't like a stalkery thing, but there's this whole class of con goer that like walks up and I mean there's a whole subset of these guys that walk up and they're like, hey, what's your comic about? Oh, it's kind of yeah, anyway, here's my comic. And this guy had made I cannot remember his name. He had a weird name, but let's say it was like Bill Davidson or something. I don't remember. So that's really normal. Yeah, very very unusual. And he starts flipping through his portfolio and there are all these just really, really bad, overly caricatured, like, I'm so sassy and I'm so hard and I look like a skater from the 90s. And he starts going through me like, this is Natalie Wood, pussy. She's a real slut. This is Doug Dealer. He's a drug dealer. And I'm like... terrified, like, must back away, must leave, exit strategy, where are the exits? Goes through his whole thing, and the whole time under his breath, he's going, they're going to remember Bill Davidson. Oh, they're going to remember my name after this. It's getting made by Cartoon Network. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not even possible. They're going to remember me.
This is when I get up on the roof of AR-15.
This is anticlimactic, but I don't have the voicemail on here.
Oh.
He must have called somebody else's number. Anyway, don't trust PayPal.
Probably the blender guy.
What?
Probably the blender guy.
Oh, man. Guy stole my fucking blender. I mean, my book. You can steal my blender.
You're going to finally get the message, and it's going to be like,
hey, Dave, this is order number 452. If you want me to live, you should probably call me back or call the hospital or something.
No!
I've cut both my wrists, and it's looking pretty bad. You know? Anyway, I hope you don't wait a week to hear this. Big fan! Big, super big fan. Love the comic. It's getting dark. It's getting real cold and dark.
Beep!
I'll haunt you.
See, what if he was a really nice guy?
That's like Rich Stevens' curse power. Have you guys heard that story? So Rich Stevens was the comic Diesel Sweeties. And at one point, he had one of his computers stolen by some dude. Some dude, you know, waltzed in and took one of his computers. And Rich was like, you know, motherfucker, whatever. So I forget if he filed a police report or whatever, but eventually, like, he didn't really think anything of it. Until about a year later, he was emailed by the guy's sister, and she was like, yeah, I just wanted you to know that my brother was the guy who stole your computer, and he actually just committed suicide. So, and Rich was like, yes!
So can I get my computer back?
We are not forgiving people.
Alright.
You got one cross.
Next question. You there in the back? In the green shirt.
I know Danielle mentioned on Twitter recently that she just joined Black Ferret. And I was wondering, like, how that came about, and if any of the rest of y'all joined, like, larger organizations like that?
I don't want to have to ship anything anymore. Which, unfortunately, see, now it's a bad day for me to answer that question. They gave me the wrong box of books, so I don't have book 5 with me. I'm really upset about it. But so now I am going to have to ship things, because you guys didn't order them here, and I'll ship them out next week. But that was the reason, is that they've got really good business sense, and they contacted me, and we were already, you know, all kind of friends, and I'd already met them all, and they were just like, you know, we could just do all the stuff that you don't want to do, and I was like, can you really? And so no, actually, they've already shipped out all of the orders for Books 5. I just got back from Montreal. I was up there to sign all the books that anybody ordered to get personalized, and they've already shipped them all out, and I'm just like, all I have to do is draw the comic now, and they're taking care of, you know, they're
so
the ones, so nice. They paid for Tyler Martin to do a gorgeous job on my website, and they, you know, took care of all of that. They've got the advertisements on there. They're making me twice as much as I was doing before on advertising, and they're trying to do more than that, so.
Do they have more slots?
There's kind of a bell curve in independent online comic making, where it's like you go from making comics, doing a desk job.
True.
And then at some point, if you don't unload that, you have more desk job work to do than you have comic making to do.
It's kind of heartbreaking. The bell curve goes like comic, desk job, alcoholism.
Yeah.
And it starts going.
That's right.
Crying in the corner.
I'm part of Topotico, which is a big company run by my friend Jeff Rowland, who does order fulfillment and merchandising for, I think, like 50 different webcomics now. And he handles pretty much everything for me. The only things I do are design merch, and they get them printed and mailed out and all that. He published my first book and all of that, and it's great. It saves me so much work. The year before we switched to Topotico, my wife was working 60-hour weeks just doing the merchandise, and I was working probably a 20-hour week on top of doing the comic, helping her. Just got too big for us to do ourselves, so we handed it off to Jeffrey, and it's been great. Like, our sales doubled, and also cool stuff.
I'm with Topotico too, and it was, they do my shirts, and I still self-publish my books on my own, which is just a decision I made. But like, it did get to the point where shipping 50 orders was taking an entire weekend, whereas with them, not only did my sales go up, but they the time. I mean, it's such a cliche, but time is money, and I'm giving them a sliver of my T-shirt money, and they're giving me back, you know, a work week basically every week. So it's eventually there has to be just a modicum of success that you have to reach where you got to say, I can't make it to the next level on my own. Mm-hmm. I think unless you just have a all digital business model with no products or something, I don't know. But
I don't have a store. I do it on my own.
Yeah, and you also tweet constantly about shit. 75 orders got fucked up. Oh, no. I'm never making comics again.
Not BFFs. In fact, I dropped off, and these are already stamped. I dropped off 120 orders on Thursday, and I walk in with this box. And I just walk, the counter, I'm like, these are stamped, and the postman's like, all right, not really leaving these here, going somewhere else. So, you roll your eyes at me, I don't trust you to handle merchandise, because you suck. I've never been invited to anything like that, no one wants me around. That's a true King Spot invited me. I didn't take that invite.
That's probably wise.
It just didn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that almost all of the ways you can make money off of a webcomic, besides advertising, require a massive investment.
It's a nightmare.
I self-published my first book, and I only ordered 1,000, and it cost me $9,000, $8,000, I think, of money that I had to raise on my own. And I'm currently pre-ordering. I'm doing the pre-order for my second book now.
Hint.
And I need like 10, and it's and then with Jeff's book, ordering 20 times the amount of books I am, that's not something one person can do. You can't.
It's like, unless you just happen to have 40 grand speculate, invest with.
Yeah, most people can't. You, there is actually a point where a lot of aspiring cartoonists, a big question is hey, how do I get my book made? And it's the worst part of, it's the worst hump to get over, because if you do them print on demand or you do a very small run, you can get them for $20 and sell them for $21. It's just pointless. And you have to get to the point where you can order about 1,000, and if you can't justify that expense, you can't make a book, really. There's no way to do it. And having somebody back you on that is a give them half the money, give them whatever, give them, if it's a good partnership, it's definitely almost too hard to do on your own.
Next question. You have had your hand up a couple times now.
So I know some of you actually use Ustream or something to broadcast to actually working. I was wondering why you decided to do that and sort of how the responses, and have you sort of changed your process maybe at all, sort of, because you realize there's sort of that somebody watching you instantly.
Everyone else was doing it, so.
But now I can't work without it being broadcast. I just feel very lonely. It's really good for me, because knowing that I have 150 people watching me keeps me on task. So
that's true.
I draw the entire strip from start to finish, as opposed to doing a panel and then fucking around on the internet for 45 minutes, then doing another one, and then going and making a sandwich. And I realized that strips used to take me 6 hours to draw, and it was because half of that time I was just screwing around, and now I can get a comic done in 2 hours if I'm really working fast. So, yeah, it's fun.
Well, it's kind of the same way. I like that, it does keep you on task, because people are... This is actually why I mention things on Twitter when I'm about to do them, because then I'm like...
Right,
I gotta get it done. It's the same thing, except I wound up talking. I have my laptop set up so I can see the chat going. I have this really hobo setup of a tripod with some sticks on it, and then it holds the webcam, and because I have to do it traditionally. And I pay attention to the chat, which I shouldn't do, because it gets me to finish up that comic so quickly, and then I sit there and I'm like, oh yeah, guys, do you have any questions for me? Blah, 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 blah. And we talk for 2 hours. And then it's cookies and milk time, and I'll do cookies and milk with them afterwards.
Make it in a whole different crowd.
Get kicked off and start doing Justin TV afterwards. Keep going to the place. Make it time.
Yeah, you stream broke for me, so I had to switch to Justin TV.
I actually kind of like Justin.
I like it better.
I'm going to try them, because Ustream doesn't work for me anymore either. Yeah.
I switched to Stick'Em because I just take my clothes off for money. Do you guys really want me to take?
Exactly. So why I want to mix it. Stream my comics, because I usually am naked while working.
That's true.
In the summer, I have to watch out because of this if the camera goes up, I
so you have to like maybe pull hairs out of your comic box.
Well, I'm just kind of brushing my chest here. See little animals.
Actually, I want you to do videos where it's like the camera's on, there's a fire roaring, you're brushing your chest hair with a comb, and you're like, oh, hi. Welcome into my home.
I got my pipe, I'm fine with my
legs crossed just so.
I didn't see you there.
I was just preening my luscious mane.
Eventually he does the basic instinct thing where you uncross his legs.
At the end of the video, I just jump and drop back my uniform and ride off.
Yeah. It's like an Old Spice commercial. Yeah.
Not a uniform.
That's going to follow you all the way to sleep tonight. I'm so happy.
I got something to spank bank.
You're the man my mouth can smell like?
Huh?
You're the man my mouth can smell like?
I'll
tell you those commercials
ever close.
Alright. Next question. Odin, your call.
Gentleman with the wristband?
Pinched nerve, that's why I wear this.
Aww.
David, you have had several statues now come out through Patch Together.
Yeah.
You have had the Death Mole album come out online.
Mm-hmm. Not actually, there's like five of them, but yeah.
Sure. Non-traditional merchandising aspects. What opportunities have you guys had? What opportunities are you exploring?
I've had opportunities to spend like 10 hours every day sewing hats.
You work in a sweatshop?
I have three jobs. I have coming of age, short pack, and sewing hats.
And you know if some Cambodian kids saw your hats, they'd be like, this stitching is awful.
It is awful. I'm a dude. I can't sew.
Let's do his main arm.
Yeah.
I really hope he's not getting paid more than 10 cents.
Yeah.
Well, the margin's pretty good.
Just for fun, he takes it apart and fixes it, and he's like, ah, that took 15 seconds. Can I have some food?
I guess the most non. Should I tell the story about what Almost Eyes offered? You
know, for your show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude,
I was offered a chance at a network deal. And it was the most horrible thing I've ever been offered, and I'm not going to say what network, but they want to make SP into a sitcom.
Oh my god. It was actually Lifetime.
It was a very much, they want to do like a
it was, oh, the Oprah network.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I don't think this is a good idea. Because I'm just thinking, you know, I wouldn't mind if it's something else I've done, but this is kind of personal. They're inspired by like now. And the more that this person spoke to me, the less the idea sounded good to me. It was just, you know, like, I'm trying to remember all they offered. Like, we could, you know, play up the relationship between PG and Davin. Like, there's no relationship beyond friendship between them. My favorite was, like, and the best part is, you won't even have to work on the show. You'll be a writer, like, whoa, back the fuck up. And like, you want to be a writer? This is based off my friends and family. I'm not just turning this over to strangers. And the advance they offered me. Guess what? I was offered for an advance.
$5.
$10.
It was a retainer.
I was offered $10 in an industry where a normal check for that is $40,000 for a 1 year shopping agreement, and they offered me $10.
And that's just to keep you from going somewhere else. That's to tide you over.
And that was their good faith agreement, and I have a reader named John Rogers. And John Rogers wrote Blue Beetle for a while. He's doing the D&D comic. He also co-created the TV show Leverage, and he's done a lot of stuff, and I called him. And he's like, this sounds awful. He's like, how much do they offer you? I said, 10. And I hear a phone clatter. And he's like, I'm sorry. Apparently, I was struck by momentary deafness because I could have sworn you were offered $10. He's like, yeah, I was offered $10. They didn't want me involved in the project. And they just went, oh, also, they said, and you realize PG and Aubrey may not be Asian. I'm like, you are not selling this well. And John's like, you know, the first time I ever did any type of script work. It was a book he liked as a kid, and he wanted to write the script and shop the script around. And for the same agreement for a year, he would approach that author and gave the guy $9,000 of his own money, and no one bought the script. Didn't get that money back. That's how it works. And I felt bad because the person was a reader,
But I was just so angry, I just didn't know how to return. And John asked me, he said, do you want to actually have SPV TV show? And I thought, I'm like, no, I don't want that. That would be an awful thing. Because, okay, you can work around the swearing. I'll be honest, that can be knocked out. But just, the first strip is an abortion joke. what are you going to replace that with in the first episode?
A schmishmortion joke.
So, I just think it would have been a bad idea. That was the most non-traditional marketing thing I was ever offered, and I walked away as fast as I could from it.
It's got three letters in the name.
Fox.
Anyone else? Non-traditional merchandising or marketing?
Earl's is books.
Everything I do is non-traditional. I mean, our whole business is non-traditional.
Yeah, being a whip person in general, but...
And,
where's my yelling bird pocket pussy?
Yeah, exactly. Which would sell better than anything any of us offer.
I'm actually like adamant that I have to make a hand more body pillows.
Oh, God.
I disapprove on so many levels.
How about a pint-sized one instead?
Really, I want to get like vibrators with his face on them.
I guess I have a talking control to Ram phrase.
Oh,
like,
God.
I've been everywhere! Oh. You should get that checked!
Alright, next question. Before we derail further, right there.
Heck. No, you wrote you wrote a fan fiction that one of your characters wrote.
That was great.
Awesome. And so this is kind of a general question. What's the most fun that you've had with your characters doing stuff? Like either the wallpaper for the character in an odd situation that's not involved in the comic kind of thing.
Ooh.
Twitter
account.
I once... Just for one strip, I had this strip that was about my character Faz buying up all domains he had heard people mention just so we could sell them back to them if they ever wanted them, because I don't know, he's stupid. But I created this website that he had created called I Buy Extra Domains Because I Have a Small Penis or something. Because one of the characters is playing with him, just saying random stuff that he shouldn't be buying just to get him to buy them and waste his money on them. And I spent like a day making this fake website. This goes on for like pages of like Faz saying things, a stream of consciousness, and just pictures and terrible things to say. And
What about Butt Taco?
Oh, Butt Taco. No, that was one of the other ones. Is like butttaco.org, butt-taco.org. And it's just a picture of that mascot character I made up. It looks like a taco with meat out of the top. So it could be either.
It could be a butt, it could be a taco, it could be a hybrid butt taco.
Yeah.
We're not sure.
Yeah.
It's actually more popular than both your comics.
I would be fine with that.
And better in every way.
I actually tried to sell t-shirts, but nobody wanted to buy them.
Funny how that works.
I want to turn Butt Taco into a sitcom.
That's actually... $8. That's actually a good point.
Replace him with Ray Romano.
If one of your... Butt Taco! If any of your readers tell you, you should totally turn Rape Face into a shirt, no one's going to buy the Rape Face shirt. People are like, yeah, that's an awesome idea. I couldn't wear that to work. Sure. Yeah.
You need to say this about a lot.
I've gotten burned on that a lot.
Or like, I would totally buy that shirt. You mean, I don't have money. I don't actually buy any merchandise about comics.
No! I have an email account from Jamie. I just remembered that occasionally we'll get a couple of emails. Whenever I do anything.
Those are all from me. I really.
She's sorry she hasn't responded to you. She's busy.
Ever since you drew that picture of me motorboating.
I have nerdrotica.com. I registered the domain and I actually put a website up. I haven't updated it in like 6 years, but. And everyone's all so weird, like, I just plugged nerdrotica.com in and holy shit, that site's there. And I've actually had offers to buy it. For people who wanted to set up actual porn sites, but no, I'm not selling it, it's mine. And I actually have a lot of readers who work in phone sex, and quite a few of them actually tried to convince me
let them lease space on it to promote themselves because they were all nerds, and some of them actually can do tech support. I was tempted, but I was like, I don't know if I want to cross into that line.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on? Because I'm turned off.
Check your device. Make sure it's plugged in.
What are you wearing? Ethernet cables.
Yeah. Are they Cat 5 or Cat 5E?
Wax seal. Oh, you're dirty.
I want to meet your motherboard. That ends it.
Just fuckalready.net and redirect it to my comment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What, a random redirection to my website is sarahpalinistheantichrist.com. Which I bought, not knowing anything about her, because like she was first introduced. Like, wouldn't it be funny just to pretend she was the Antichrist? Just sort of like meme.
It turned out to be a prophecy.
Yeah. Kind of embarrassing. I felt like I was making a political statement. It's like, no, I thought it'd be funny.
I thought she was a moose rancher. I didn't know she was involved.
If only. Yeah, I was trying to keep us from derailing.
I was going to say we have time for two more questions here.
In your spare time, did you ask this either?
Hobbies?
Read each other's webcomics? Do you guys in your spare time, I'm going to go read this person.
I don't know these people.
I read Daniels.
I read Jeff's. There we go.
Ever since I started doing it full time, I've actually gotten really bad at reading other people's comics. There are only like two that I will check every single time they update, and that's only because like you and Jeff Rollman mention on Twitter every time you put up a script.
I'll bitch this bitch!
Because typically when you update, I'm working on a comic.
I know.
I read your comic like I read most comics, where I will remember that I haven't read it in a month.
That's how it usually works.
Yeah. So
I read my own comic while looking in the mirror.
You draw your comics while examining your guns.
Oh yeah!
A handful, kind of obsessively, but you know, every morning kind of thing. Jeff is always the first. I always have to hold myself back every night when he tweets about it. I'm like, I want it for the morning, but I want it now. I guess
I didn't know you felt that.
I never tweeted about it. Octopus Pie and Johnny Wander and
Johnny Wander.
I love that one so much. Actually, there's one chemical something. I'm gonna have to link it at some point because it's small but it's hilarious. Something about chemicals. That didn't help anything.
It's like my penis.
It's not small. It's fun size.
Like a Snickers.
Ogloff's amazing. Oh, yeah. We mentioned last year too, but it's still an amazing comic.
Ogloff is one of those comics everybody who does.
And it's not safe for work.
No.
Actually, it's funny because in my comic links on my sidebar, it's like comic. Ogloff, not safe for work. If you look at my outgoing links, that's clicked everybody more often than any other. It's like, it might as well just be saying like you want to read this right now.
I guess you gotta put like not safe for work on all my links.
Yeah.
Put it next to mine.
Yeah. I'll put shitty.
Oh, that's probably still working.
The worst comic.
Yeah. All right. We're still doing okay on time. So another question. Somebody who has not had a chance to go yet.
Your time.
You with the leather coat on.
I know you said a lot of your comic is based on your friends.
Who's inspired by them? It's TV.
Your mom's not dead.
Yeah. My father does not have Alzheimer's.
No.
The question is, have you had any kind of fallout, or anybody else had any kind of fallout on characters based on
No, I have always gotten approval from people. In fact, if you're going to base a character off of a friend or family member, it's a good idea to get in writing that they approve of this. I have heard of tales, especially if it's bio comics, I have heard of lawsuits happening where people, like, they're falling out, it can go horrible wrong. I can't mention names, but there have been pretty bad ones.
You mean like in movie comics?
Oh, and actually, I completely looked about movie comics. That's something I had forgotten existed ever.
You're a fortunate man.
Thanks, Dave. I'll drape my testicles across your eyes tonight.
You're gonna do that.
But also, another thing, if you're going to base characters off your friends and family, or yourself, My characters were still very close to these people the first year of my comic, and by the end of the first year, they start deviating. They should grow into their own entities. I'm not Devin. Devin wasn't who I was when my comic started. He had been who I had been a few years before, and wasn't someone I liked. I still don't like the character that much, honestly. Devin is not my favorite character. He's a jerk, and he deserves most of the things that happened to him, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, Aubrey and my friend Clary are different people. And as long as you're upfront with your friends and explain these things to them, you generally know which one of your friends can handle it and which one can't. There are certain friends who were like really upset they had to bring an SP, but I knew they're the ones who were bringing the demands what would happen to their characters. Whereas my friend Clary and my friend Josh, who Jake's based off of, Jim, they don't give a shit. In fact, Jim has told me he doesn't care if his character dies because it's just something that happened. Woo! That was nice and depressing.
All my characters are although I will, you know, I'll pull stuff from real life if somebody says something particularly funny. Or I got in trouble with my mother-in-law because there are a few quotes in the first book, like characters saying various things that are like direct from her, because she just is crazy. Like at one point, her husband, my father-in-law, expressed concern that, and this comic was done like right when Christy, my wife, had moved up north with me. She's from Tennessee originally. And he expressed concern at one point that I was taking his daughter up to godless north. So of course I threw that in the comic, and that'd be something Faye said. And there are like three or four of those. And her parents like are smart enough to know that like my comic isn't for conservative Southern Baptist people. so they don't read it online, but like they wanted a copy of the book when it came out. And of course, my mother-in-law, being kind of an idiot sometimes, decides to actually read this horrible blasphemous thing. And within about five strips, she calls my wife on the phone like,
the things that Jeff says in his comic.
You know what I say.
You know this thing.
I have a story.
It's
about my mom.
Oh, good.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so a long while ago, like when I was with Keen Spot, I had a t-shirt called I Harbor for Sexual Lust. And like on the page description of the t-shirt, like, it had this big, long thing, you know, yay, a bunch of innuendo, and at the end it says, you've seen what they do on the Discovery Channel and you like it. And so my mom, I hadn't, like, spoken to her, like, 8 months at that point. I don't interact with her very often. But she sent me an email that said, are you having sex with animals?
Please tell me you replied with yes, because that's the only proper...
I would just reply with a photo. I want you to meet my wife. Yeah, Snuggles.
Only that's a horse.
I think I was like, are you for real? And she's like, oh no, I was just worried about you.
These are the things I think about. A mother worries about bestiality.
This is what you worry about with your daughter.
It's a crazy-ass world, man. You never know.
She doesn't meet a dolphin.
One day she's going to bring home a three-toed sloth, and she's like, Dad's accept him.
You never know. Hey, they're endangered. You got to respect them.
My mom worries a lot about me. She cares very much, and is very distraught by the number of game characters in my comic being more than zero. But
and people on this planet also hoping
hell when they die. So.
My mom, I know this wasn't your question, but my mom asked
mom
after like 6 months, are you ever going to give me a copy of your book? I know you made a book.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, on one condition. Whatever you read in here, you just can't ask me any questions. Nothing. You can't ask me to explain it. You can't ask me if I really feel a certain way. Half of it's jokes, half of it's true. Whatever, just enjoy, you know? I don't know if she ever read it. I do know that she never asked me anything about it, which makes me think she read it.
I have to ask my mom not to. If you don't understand something, don't Google it.
Yeah.
My mom was just 2 pounds less your little chick.
Yeah. That's scissoring.
That's some technique.
It's macrame.
What's a harpback baby?
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. There.
I don't know that.
Like, they have any feelings.
I really hope my mom clicks on
it. That's a horrible decision.
Oh, they have one feeling. Ah!
I'll look that up later.
Yeah, you should.
Have
I don't know if I want to.
Have your girls I called Miss Danielle to them. They don't know my last name.
This is good.
To which I pointed out last night, if you Google Danielle webcomic, there's really only one result.
I only have to worry when they get to like 15 and they figure out what webcomics are. At that point, they're going to be reading my stuff and learning to go get STD tested. So it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm doing okay. Yeah. I'm terrified. I've told them basically when they ask me to. Actually, I'm hosting the Girl Scout Christmas party next Thursday night at my house. So I have to go through everything and box things that I don't want them to find and put it up in the attic.
What's that buzzing sound coming from the attic? There's a blood.
Hey, if you concentrate all that power in one spot in the attic, your house might come down.
Or the house.
It's like a Tesla thing. It's the resonant frequency of the house.
The house just vaporizes.
You vibrate it into another dimension.
It's a Philadelphia experiment. It's Daniel's genitalia.
They come back and all the kids are halfway through the walls. Like.